This is a solemn day in many ways, because we make it so, because it's February 11th is, of course, the actual, whatever language you want to use, Remembrance Day. And so we try to do Remembrance Day service as close to it as possible. And this year, the day before, I think, seems quite good. And as I was reflecting on Remembrance Day, and as reflecting on the texts, I found myself asking the question, what is sacrifice? It's a word we use often. We all know what it means, or what it means to make a sacrifice. Letting someone else control the television remote control. Sacrifice. Giving someone the last piece of pie. You can fill in your own blanks, can't you? Because you know I'm kidding. Or am I? I'm not really kidding. The problem is the word sacrifice encompasses so many things. Those are sacrifices. And they're bigger for some people than for others. For some people, they've been looking forward to watching their show, giving a television control to a grandchild who wants to watch something repetitive and almost terrible, at least so it feels to you. That could be a real sacrifice. But sacrifice gets used in all these divergent ways, and if we're not careful, we'll lose track of what it means to us and what it should mean. I looked up some synonyms just to give us some help, perhaps. There are nouns: expense, detriment, disadvantage, cost, loss. Those are all nouns that express similar things. And verbs: to forego, to forfeit, to surrender, to lose, to give up, or to let go. All those words fit that last piece of pie. But they fit other actions too. And so today we're going to talk about what we might decide to call real sacrifice. We'll put that in quotation marks. Because I don't want to minimize anyone's feeling of sacrifice who is here or is watching from afar or listens to this later. When you've made a sacrifice, you have made a sacrifice, and that is true in and of itself. It's just that we can sometimes lose track of what sacrifice can mean and has meant for all kinds of people. Our stories, our scripture lessons today talk about sacrifice. Elijah meets this widow who says that she is going to go home, make a meal for herself and her son, and die. The implication is that she has enough for that, and that's it. And Elijah says, go and make me a small cake. And if you do that, a loaf, and if you do that, you will find that the gracious Lord will provide all you need until this famine is actually over. And we think of that and we think, well, that's an extraordinary thing. Is that even possible? Well, it is possible. And it can be done and is done in the story as we read it. We see over and over again that this happens for this woman, for their son. They live on a single jar of flour and a single jug of oil. I remember, how many of you remember this as a cruse of oil? That's how I read it in the King James Version. I never really did know as a child what a cruse meant, and I'm not sure I do even now. I'm guessing it's a jug, but we'll go from there. This woman is willing to make a sacrifice that's a life and death kind of thing. And we do a disservice to her and to all those who make sacrifices if we don't draw distinctions between levels of sacrifice. And I know we do. I'm not telling you anything new. I'm not telling you anything you haven't thought of before. But what I want us to remember again is that sacrifice can mean everything from the trivial to the ultimate. The story that Jesus, in the Gospel of Mark, the story we have of the widow, I find it interesting that the story is placed right after Jesus says there's a bunch of people out there who like to pray and be known for their holiness and known for their religiosity. Don't be like them. And then they went and sat down and watched the offerings being put in the box as people went into the temple. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins. The NIV says worth a fraction of a penny. I think we can safely say they were the smallest coins that were available at the time. And Jesus says, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. Mark those words. This translation is a good one. More. Those two coins worth, in our case, that would be two nickels, smallest things we have, are worth more than what everybody else put in. Because value comes, in this case, from sacrifice. She put in all she had. The others put in out of their wealth. So how do these stories relate to Remembrance Day? Well, Remembrance Day is when we remember sacrifice, when we remember those who put themselves, as the poem says, between us and war's desolation. And this isn't to minimize for a moment, not for a heartbeat, the sacrifices that others make in other places. We should have days of remembrance for people who have sacrificed perhaps in other ways, but we do have this one. And it came out of the First World War, a war that changed certainly Western culture and probably the world's culture forever. War has never been good. War has never been pleasant. War has always been hard on civilians. But no one had ever experienced what became known as total war, where everyone was involved. And the First World War was just the rough draft of what total war looked like, which we then saw in the Second World War, where everyone was involved. Not just those at home making munitions, but those at home getting bombed and being attacked, because no one was out of bounds. For centuries, warfare was between armies, and the armies, they often behaved abominably to the civilians, but the point, the rules, all the rest of it, were armies got together and fought each other, and when they were done, they were done. No more. Now, war is what 100 years ago, 150 years ago, people would have called whatever equivalent they had of terrorism. Because it's waged on everyone, whether they're part of it or not. And so we think of the sacrifice that those who have been willing to put themselves there in the immediate danger, and we remember their sacrifice with thanksgiving. All of us have some connection with someone who lost their life in conflict. We may not know it, but it's virtually impossible at this stage. In another couple of hundred years, who knows? Maybe we'll have achieved peace by then, but all of us know someone or are related to someone. I never knew my Uncle Alan. He died in Italy in 1944, so of course I never knew him. But I heard stories about him, and I knew that he was a pleasant person. He was fun to be around. He was the best dancer in the family. Everybody wanted to be with him. He was one of those kinds of people. And he never came back. That's where I got my middle name. Many people did come back with stories of heroics and horror both. Many came back to a life that was different but moved on. Many came back and had a support system where they could reintegrate into a non-violent society in a way that they could then survive and thrive even as former soldiers. That began to end with the Korean conflict, or about the 1950s, just a year is more important than the war. When people came back from the Second World War, they came back on a ship. And they came back on a ship filled with people just like them. And so they could slowly but surely begin to think about what it might be like to not be fighting all the time, to not have to jump into a hole every time an explosion went off or whatever else it might be. And they had weeks, because they weren't in a rush to, they weren't taking the fastest boats back. They were just coming back. And so the people who came back to Canada, to the United States in particular, those who came from far distances had an opportunity to begin to grapple with what it might mean to become a civilian again. And many of them did very well. Not all. The First and Second World War, both, there are many people who suffered what's called various things, combat fatigue, shell shock. We now call it post-traumatic stress disorder. Because we realize that for some people, a traumatic event in their past continues to affect their life today. Not everyone who has been in a bad situation suffers from it, but there are many who do. We think of those we know who struggle with what it meant to leave, and we sometimes trivialize it if we don't know what it means. But I came across a statistic a number of years ago that helped me realize what this is actually like. I think it was within 15 years of the conclusion of the Vietnam conflict, more U.S. veterans had died of suicide than were killed in combat. Think about that for a moment. Don't dwell on it. It's not a pleasant thought. It's not a good memory for me, or I suspect for anyone. War affects us. Violence affects us. And those people who made that sacrifice, many of them with their eyes wide open, the number of people who volunteered to go, knowing the dangers, perhaps overemphasizing the glory until they got there, of course, but knowing the danger, still went. And because of their going, the world was preserved from a horrible situation, a horrible political structure that enslaved and murdered people simply because they were who they were. This Remembrance Day is going to be a little more poignant than most because of what's been happening in places in the world, where we see a rise in some of these same kinds of thinking. And it would be easy to feel despair, and many people do. But let's not forget that the people who made this sacrifice, just like you and me, and I'm not saying that we are called to make a similar kind of sacrifice or the same sacrifice, but what I'm saying is, whatever we might think of conflict, it appears that God raises up people when needed to face down evil at the expense sometimes of everything. So sacrifice means to give up something, and it means to give up something that you can have. It's a lot like Lent, where we give up something we can legitimately enjoy. Sacrifice is when we give up something that is ours. Our last piece of pie. Our television remote. Our health. Our life. We celebrate the sacrifice on Remembrance Day. We remember those who went, not forgetting the glory, but not focusing on that as much as we focus on those who were willing to do what needed to be done to the utmost degree at a time when not everybody did. And so, whatever you do tomorrow, whether it's part of a public ceremony or whether it's something you do on your own. It really doesn't matter. The point is to remember that phrase, lest we forget, is a reminder that if we don't remember the things that have gone before, if we allow ourselves to forget them, well, we're going to be in trouble. There's a truism that says those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it, which is sort of true. A better way to think of it is those who refuse to look at the past are not as well prepared for the present. And so we remember, and we remember the sacrifice. Remember them by name if we know them by name. And if not, we remember them as those who did. We rise up and call them blessed because they are blessed. It was Jesus who said, "Greater love has no one than to lay down their life for their friends." And in this case, friends was everyone that they left behind. Let us remember, not just with grief and not just with celebration, but with the understanding of what it means to be willing to sacrifice. Amen.